Welcome, everybody, to episode 99 of Dork Tunes. So I know we've been out of the limelight for a bit, but it was, personal things, work things, life things, basically. But we're here now, and we are absolutely kicking it to 100. So this is a really special episode, and funnily enough, I've got someone with me who is a good friend, and the last time that we kind of add something. He's previously been on the podcast before, way back 5 years ago in 2019. That's weird when you say that. And he was part of the day where I did my very, very first kind of public appearance and and talked about video game music to the masses. So I think I've done enough talking, so I'll let him introduce himself.
Hello, everybody. My name's Richard Jakes, and I'm a composer.
Fantastic. So it's been such a long time since we've seen each other, but it's lovely to see you again. I'll never ever forget that day. It was one of the most special days of my life. As you know, I spoke to you beforehand, and I was so worried about people not turning up
Yeah.
to this. And I was like, I got there hours early, and I had cards printed, and I would hand them out. Almost every single person I spoke to said, "Oh yeah, that's what we're here for." And then we go in, we get ourselves settled, and then it turns out because I made a rookie mistake. I had my phone on the plinth at the top, but I didn't put it into airplane mode. And I was getting texts off loads of people going, "I can't get in, it's locked." Because there were so many people in there, they'd filled all the seats, they'd filled two deep on either side and two deep at the back. It just blew my
Yeah,
mind.
it was amazing to see how full it was, and it just shows it sort of shows how many people are interested in video game music and soundtracks, whether they're working in the industry or not. There were loads and loads of people there and fans and people just that really, really appreciate the music. So thank you for hosting that wonderful panel.
Thank you. And I've decided just to, only today, I'm going to go back and do it again. I'm going to do some more.
Fabulous. No, that'd be
Yeah.
great. Should do.
So, as I mentioned before we started recording, I was listening to the old episode that you were on episode 44, just for fact funds. And you mentioned something that I wanted to ask you about, because I didn't at the time and I don't know why.
Hello.
You were the first person to record in Abbey Road with Headhunter back in
Yes, for a
2001.
video game.
Yeah.
That's correct. That was the first video game soundtrack in history to be recorded at Abbey Road in Studio One, which Abbey Road will confirm. So that would have been January the 27th to the 29th, 2001, off the top of my head, and that is for
Wow. And how did that even happen?
Well, I've been working on the project probably for about 6 months, and the developer, Amuse, in Stockholm, they definitely wanted a kind of cinematic look and feel and sound to the game, because it's a sort of action adventure game, narrative driven. It's got combat, it's got vehicles and things like that, big interweaving storyline. So I suggested, we should do this live, we should record it with live musicians, because they wanted an orchestral soundtrack in style, sort of a Hollywood action style soundtrack. So I suggested that, shall we record this live? Submitted some budgets to my boss at Sega. I was still an in-house composer with Sega at the time. And yeah, sort of put a plan together, and it was all approved. So yeah, booked all the musicians, booked the studios, booked my engineer, and went down there and recorded it for 4 days, which was a fantastic experience. And it's funny because a lot of the staff and the other house engineers at Abbey Road sort of wanted to come and have a look, because they don't know what was involved in making a game in those days. There's been a lot recorded there since, but it was amazing to sort of see the interest, and people wanted to come and have a look and have a listen, and I was thrilled with the results, and we got it all done on time, and then mixed it, and the game shipped a few months later.
That must have been a huge thrill. to have been there and done that in such an iconic studio and be the first person to do it.
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't really think about it at the time. I don't think I knew that I was the first person. I mean, the studio manager at the time, Colette Barber, she said to me, "Oh, this is quite a new thing for us." But I don't think I really noticed until sort of during the session and afterwards, when a lot of the technical staff and the engineers said, "Oh, we've never done a game. What, how does it work in games compared to movies or TV?" And there's a lot of similarities,
Yeah.
but we do record in a slightly different way. But yeah, it was an absolute thrill, and I think for all my friends and colleagues that have recorded there since, it was a nice thing for me to just sort of give something to the industry so that I can help everyone, sort of set that pathway so that it's become pretty much the standard now. And yeah, it was very exciting, a little bit daunting. I was
Yeah.
only in my mid 20s at the time, and big budget that I had to be on top of, which of course I was. But yeah, managed to deliver the results, and I think the press, both the gaming press and the wider music press, really sort of took up and sat up and took notice of what we did. So that's a real yeah, it's a really good feeling, and it is a pleasure to be involved with.
I'd love to see. I was invited down by John Everest, and I had to. Was, I just started this new job. I was in training, and I was like, "Please, can I go?" And they were like, "But it's really important that you attend your training." And then I couldn't go in the end, and I've been raging ever since. Because on that day, on the specific day, I didn't actually do anything of value, so I could have gone. I'm furious. So.
Always a diary clash. I'm sure you'll get that soon, though.
But then like obviously Ayr is a huge sorry Abbey Road is a huge studio, and then you've got Ayr just down the road. I was actually there back in just before COVID with Gareth Coker. He was doing Ori and Will Wisps, and I'll be honest, it was one of the best days of my life. It was
Yeah.
absolutely mind-blowingly amazing. I just couldn't believe what I was hearing and seeing and being part of. And I'll never forget it. I spent the whole train journey home crying my eyes first.
Yeah, I mean, there's another great studio. I've recorded lots of things there as well, and I know all the people there, and I've been to some other friends' sessions. I was actually there watching a friend of mine do a Disney project just a few months ago with Alan Menken, the amazing composer of many of the Disney soundtracks, and that was fantastic for me to see and hear and be a part of.
And speaking of that, you've been such a part of such massive games, like Little Planet 2, Overwatch 2, Mass Effect, James Bond, Guardians of the Galaxy recently, and you won loads of awards for that, and you've released on vinyl now as well.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
I don't really think about it that much because it's just my absolute passion and it's what I do. I've been fortunate over the years to be working on some really great projects with some really great people, some great developers, great audio directors. So I feel very humbled and privileged for sure. I don't really find it sort of daunting because I'm sort of known for especially big action adventure scores like Guardians of the Galaxy or Mass Effect, James Bond, etc. That's what I love writing. That's why a lot of people come to me. But yeah, I've just been very fortunate and I've been in the industry quite a long time, so I've got to know a lot of people. I've worked with many development studios all across the world, and having started as an in-house composer, that was a really fantastic grounding and introduction to the industry for me as well. So it's been a roller coaster of a few years, I can tell you that.
Just something that's popped in my head. What would you have any kind of advice for the younger you when you were first starting, knowing what you do know now?
Oh, if I was talking to my younger self,
Tell you one thing.
I'd probably say take some more time off and have a holiday. Because I
Yes.
remember, even in those days, I remember when I was scoring Headhunter, I even went into the studio on Boxing Day that Christmas because we were recording in January, and I was just dying to get in there and
Wow.
finish things up and change the thing. So, Yeah, have more holiday, take more breaks. But no, I certainly worked very hard. I always do. But yeah, that's about the best advice I could give my younger self.
And I think what you just said, that is quite true of an awful lot of games composers. You know, like look at someone like Austin. He's a machine, never stops. You know, and it's like you're doing one thing and you're doing another and doing another, and it just snowballs and you just don't stop because you're
Yeah.
so involved in what you're doing.
Yeah. That's absolutely true. I mean, when you release a project, then people come to you for another one, and then there might be something overlapping. And I think once you become known and your scores become known, then yeah, it's sometimes a big juggling exercise. And luckily for me, I'm not shy of hard work, so I really do enjoy it. So but yeah, I do. I have learned to take breaks a bit more often than I
Good,
used to.
good.
Mind you, I
And
still haven't had a holiday since 2017, and it's 2024 now. So maybe I'm not taking my own advice.
you know, I got a text off my partner, my husband, 2 weeks ago, and just said, "We are bloody going on holiday next year. I am sick of this." Because we
Yeah.
haven't had a holiday in 8 years.
Really, yeah,
Yeah,
it's very
last
easily done, I find. It's very easy
And
just to keep going and working.
it didn't help that we had COVID and all the travel restrictions. And then
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I look at the airports and go, and the mess that they're in at the moment, and I just go, no.
Yeah, sometimes it's
No.
more hassle than it's worth.
Yeah. Like I'm going home to Ireland in September and it's just for 4 days. And it's my dad's 80th birthday. I've been summoned. So when I go home, it's not really a holiday because I don't get to do things
Yeah.
for myself by myself. Except the last time I went, last year, I took a day from by myself and off I went into Dublin, and was actually a little tourist. Met a
That's
friend
good.
I'd yeah, it was lovely, and met a friend that I hadn't seen since I moved to Leeds like over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was like we saw each other yesterday. You know,
That's
and then had a
right.
little lunch with another friend. And that was just joy for the soul, you know.
Yeah, it's really good to do that. Really good to do.
Yeah, like I had a week off recently, just because it was my birthday, and I just decided that the week off after. And I didn't do anything except kind of, you know, little day trips out and kind of go here and do that and just nice things by myself.
Yeah. No, it's very, very good to do these things. I try and do similar things myself when I can.
So I know that you've worked on big games, and the most recent one being Guardians of the Galaxy. How did that come about, or were you put for that? How did it come about? How was the kind of working process for that for you?
Well, I was contacted by Steve Shapkowski, who's the senior audio director at Eidos Montreal. And I think they'd heard my music on both Mass Effect and James Bond. And I think the combination of those two was probably quite a good fit for them. So I wrote a few demo pieces and was told that they wanted to hire me for the project. When I found out what the project actually was, I sort of, because I signed my NDA, and once I found out what the project was, I literally jumped off the chair, because sometimes for me, you kind of know when you're a good fit for something. And I'm in the fortunate position in my career where if someone comes to me and says, "Oh, can you write a heavy metal score?" Well, that's not what I do. I can
Yeah.
say, "Let's call this guy," or, "I've got a really good friend who does this." And I'm fortunate to be able to do that, because I think the industry has matured a lot over the past, well, since I've been doing it, which is 30 years this year. I can say, this is what I do, this is what I'm good at, this is what I'm known for. So it was good that, when I found out that it was a Marvel project and it was Guardians of the Galaxy, it was just like literally a dream come true. I mean, I couldn't wish for a better, more fitting project. And I
Yeah.
knew my style of composition, how I approach music and games, would be a perfect fit for that franchise. So right from the beginning, it was a fabulous, fabulous experience. And myself and Steve sat down and basically worked out what we wanted to achieve from the music in the game. So, what we wanted the player to feel. And we both agreed right from the beginning, we wanted to give them like a proper, true Marvel experience, as if they'd been in the movie theaters for 2 or 3 hours, but having a sort of 30-hour game, to come away with that same feeling. And when you see the logo at the beginning, to have that sort of rush of expectation and excitement. And that's really what we wanted to achieve right from the beginning. We were both on the same page. So it was a great working relationship right from the beginning of that project.
That's fantastic. And there's such an amount of music in the game as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of music. There is nearly 6 hours of orchestral score. There is an hour of original hard rock band music, which Steve wrote with his writing partner Johan Boudreau. That's the Star-Lord band music. And then there's another 2 hours and 10 minutes or something of licensed music, mostly taken from the 80s where the game is set. So yeah, 8 hours of music or thereabouts is a quite a large offering for the player these days.
Yeah, that's a massive chunk.
Yes, it's a big project and the biggest score I've ever done. And I wrote every single note. I didn't have any, ghostwriters, shall we say. I wrote every note, 4.3 million notes. So yes.
Wow. And it was released on vinyl, and you've won loads of awards for it, so congratulations.
Thank you.
I've got my copy downstairs.
Yeah, the final edition was amazing. It was released on Mondo Records via Hollywood Records, and Mondo, as I'm sure you know, and many of your listeners, they put out some amazing soundtracks, and they custom artwork. It's a real collectible items. My hats go off to them. They're a fantastic label, and I was truly honoured to have my score on Mondo. So yeah, it was a double vinyl with one album of orchestral score and one album of the Star-Lord band. And there was a limited edition comic as well that they produced all about the Star-Lord band, which was packaged into some of the, I think, the coloured vinyl, which has a Gamora green and a no, sorry, a Drax green and a Gamora purple coloured disc. So very, very cool.
It's really cool, and the kind of production on the actual vinyl itself is second to none. I mean, yeah, Mondo are absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, they really are. And it's great that vinyl has found its place now. I mean, I've always been a vinyl lover since I was a kid. I've got quite a big vinyl collection. I've got my two Technics 1200s in my studio, a lot of old school hip hop and some classical and some soundtracks and electronica and everything. So it's great that, especially in the video game soundtracks world, that vinyl has become a real collectible item for
It's
many fans.
gone insane. Like now, when something is a, if something is announced, you need to buy it right then, or you won't get it, and it sells out so quickly. Can't remember what it was recently, but I went to kind of have a look at something, and it sold out within 40 seconds. Just dropped.
Really? Yeah. I'm not surprised.
It's insane. But yeah, like since we last saw each other, my collection has also got quite large. Mostly video game vinyl, some other bits and pieces, like some soundtracks. And sometimes I buy stuff like that's gonna come to me in 6 months' time, and I forget. And then when it arrives, I'm like
Yeah, I love those moments when there's a pre-order sort of 6 to 9 months in advance, and you do sort of forget about it. I remember when they did a remaster of the Mass Effect vinyl. So I've got two box sets of vinyl now. There was a new one that was released about 2 years ago, and I forgot that they're sending me one. And amazing just to get this, four disc or six disc, I forget how many it was in the mail. And yeah, very, very cool. And it's good to have these physical things that you can look through the booklets and the artwork, and it certainly beats streaming in my opinion. But
Yeah,
there we go.
absolutely, I agree. Sometimes I'll sit and I said that I sound like such a knob when I say this. I'll put a record on, on an evening. Turn the TV off, just put the record on and just sit and listen and just really absorb it.
Yeah.
It's really especially nice when it's a soundtrack that you absolutely love. And I'm generally not going to buy vinyl unless I have a connection to it or, emotionally,
I mean, I love that experience of it's going to be a 54-minute or 58-minute experience of two sides. And you know, when you can sit down and spend an hour just going from beginning to end, you know, the time that's taken into bands and artists and composers thinking about what to include on it, the track order, the credits, the listings, the what to include in the artwork. It is more of an experience than just sort of streaming a track randomly on your phone. I mean, I do that when I'm on the train, sure, but to actually sit down and physically listen to a whole vinyl album is something I absolutely love to do.
There's a question for you. Do you listen to other video game music soundtracks?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, not all the time, but I mean, I've got quite a lot of Japanese based soundtracks from, I guess, from my time at Sega. I used to go to Japan a lot. So I've been to Tokyo probably 20, 25 times. And you know, you can get stuff there that still takes ages to come to the West, even if it comes at all. So I'm always interested and curious of what they're releasing in Japan and things like that. And yeah, just other game vinyl that I'm interested in that I like the music, or you know, they might be a composer friend of mine, or I might get sent some, you know, promotional copies by a friend or something. But yeah, I definitely listen to them, and they have a good place in my collection for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. It's just, I think the downside for vinyl collection is it's such an expensive hobby.
Yes, it can be, and also quite weighty. I've had to build more reinforced shelves to hold all my vinyl collection, and I've even got 7 inches going back to when I was a teenager and stuff. So lots of old school hip hop and electronic music and stuff like that. But yeah, I wouldn't get rid of it, that's for sure.
It's like the latest Horizon one that was like it comes in a huge box and it was like £180.
Wow. Yeah.
But I had to
That's
have it. I had to have
well,
it.
it's funny because when Guardians was released, my copies, I think they were held up in customs or something, and I had to go and buy it on day one. So I went to HMV and Shepherd's Bush in the big shop shopping centre there in the Westfield, and yeah, sort of found it there and had to, you know, I just, yeah, for some reason, just it was nice to sort of see it there, and I bought a copy at
Course, it's going
£60,
to
I
be
think.
nice. Yeah, absolutely. But, you put your heart and soul into that for so long. And to see
Yeah.
it must be such a lovely feeling to walk into a shop and it's just there.
It was amazing. Yeah, that feeling never gets old. I'll be honest with you, because especially Guardians was it was quite a long project. I think I did my initial demos in 2017. We did 3 months on the early sort of vertical slice version of the game in September 2018, and then it was full on from February 2019 right until the end in September 2021. So yeah, good sort of 2.5 years. But you know, the last 2 years were very, very intense, and I didn't do any other projects. It was just full on all the time, you know, weekends and everything. So to get it done and on time, and making sure it was a really high quality score, and then having a bit of sleep and then going and seeing it in the record stores, yeah, that was very satisfying. I'll be completely honest with you, very satisfying.
I think the only kind of down thing about video game music on vinyl is they're really hard to find in the wild. There's not like a dedicated store. Places like HMV will carry the big hitters. It's like I was in HMV recently with a friend, and he was like, "Oh, there's a video game soundtracks over here," and I was like, "Have it, have it, have it, have it. Not interested."
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to go into an actual store and look around. I mean, I know we get a lot of video game vinyl online now, especially from other territories. But I mean, I love going into a big record store here or in the US and just going through, yeah, I just, you know, those impulse buys, there's something really, really satisfying about that. You know, so yeah, I do like going through the trolling through record stores
No, I
shelves. Yeah.
totally agree. I was in one of the it's a really well respected indie record store here in Leeds called Crash Records, and I was just bimbling through. This is years ago, and I found Far Cry 4.
Ah, nice.
Instant buy. So that was one of the first kind of that was one of the first I ever bought properly. And then I even bought vinyl before I even had a record player.
Yeah, it's funny, a
Kind
lot
of
of people
thing.
do that. it's relatively common.
Yeah, totally. And then this is a funny story. It's a nice one. I bought my first record player with some of the money I got from being the music consultant for the Magnificent Truffle Pigs, my first paid and credited released game.
No, I remember that, and that's great that that's what funded the purchase. That's a good
Yeah.
story. I was actually doing I was doing a speech on Friday. I had to go to a graduation, and I was sort of putting a few anecdotes from my formative years, shall we say. And I remember working in a peanut factory during the school holidays when I was about 15, and that's what paid for my first synthesizer. Yeah, we've all got a story of how we managed to acquire the money to get these things.
Gosh, isn't that funny? So now, are you currently working?
I am, yes. I can't say on what. It's been an interesting year. And I have to remember my NDA in place. I was working for a year and a half, or close to 2 years maybe, on a very big AAA project, which was sadly cancelled in late January, which I can't really say anything about apart from it had a very nice electronic score, which I was working on, and yes, just as part of the what's been happening in the industry in this year, sadly a lot of projects have been cancelled, and that was sadly one of them. But yeah, other things are happening as well, which I'll let you know when I'm able
Yeah, we love a good
to share
NDA
them.
in this industry.
Yes, we love it.
Actually, you mentioned about things being cancelled and stuff. I've been seeing a lot in the last couple of years of studios laying off some staff. You know, Bungie, they're releasing 20% of their workforce. That was today. That's over 200, I think it's 220 staff or something.
Yeah, something like that. I saw that announcement today as well.
So it's a bit chaotic in that respect.
It is at the moment. I mean, for me, I've never seen anything like this in my 30 years in the industry. I mean, even in the financial crash of 2008-9, that didn't affect me. I didn't see anything particularly close to me. But yeah, this is pretty catastrophic. And some analysts are calling it a market correction, but what is it, 40,000 worldwide since October, or is it 60,000? I forget. It's a
That's
lot of people,
a lot of
a lot
people.
of super talented. Yeah, a lot of super talented people, a lot of people I've worked with in the past. And it is kind of a bit heartbreaking in a way, because I mean, we all understand it's just business, but these people are so talented and they make such great games. You can't build a team that make a hugely successful and brilliant AAA, and you can't build it overnight. It does take a number of years and maybe a few failed demos and things like that before they find
And how
their
does it
feet. So I just think things bounce back.
and how does it feel when like projects that you've been working on for like a year and a half gets cancelled? Not brilliant.
It's pretty devastating, I've got to be honest. This one in particular, because it's an existing franchise that I was dying to work on. I had some incredible musicians lined up from bands and artists to work, perform on the soundtrack. And for me, having something completely different after Guardians, doing a almost fully electronic soundtrack was something I've been dying to do for ages, because I'm a big fan of electronic music. That's what I do as well. I've got a big synthesizer collection, so I'm really, really enjoying it. It's very different to a lot of things I've done before. So yeah, it was pretty gutting, I'll be perfectly honest with you. But luckily I own 99% of the music, especially the opening title song that I wrote, which may appear in something else further down the line, who knows? But yeah, I was very proud of that. So it's business at the end of the day. But yeah, I think it's been a tough year for a lot of people in the industry, and I'm just fortunate that I've sort of got a lot of connections, and people are seem happy to work with me, so that's really good.
Fingers crossed they can find some other roles and things kind of settle down a bit more.
Yeah, I think next year we'll start to see green shoots, shall we say. I think this has been a quite tumultuous year across the industry and globally indeed. It's not just UK or Europe or the US, it's all over the world pretty much. So I think, you know, the balance will come back, and we'll start to see some good projects kicking off, and hopefully even some new development studios founded by some industry veterans, which is what often happens. And you see some great games coming out of those kind of studios. So
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a healthy future. It's just riding the storm at the moment.
So I'm going to have to ask you one last question. We'll talk about it in depth. Is some maybe current? I'll ask you. It's a two-part question, maybe. A current game soundtrack that you absolutely love, or soundtracks, and then some, an older game soundtrack, one of your favorites of all time.
An older game is probably the easiest question. I'll probably have to go to my default because it's true, which is the original Outrun soundtrack, Outrun in the Arcade, created by Hero. That is the one soundtrack that really made me, it sort of changed my perception of video game music, because that was the first really high quality, it both in some terms of the sound and the audio quality in that arcade cabinet, but also the quality of the music composition. So that had a really big impact on me when I was a teenager growing up playing games. And then I was fortunate enough to remix that music for Outrun 2. So that was kind of full circle moment. So that was definitely one in the beginning. Recent stuff, I mean, there's been so many good ones. I really like Baldur's Gate 3. Bioslav's a good friend of mine. I've known him 20 years, and I think he did a cracking job on that. I
Yeah.
also really loved I really loved sorry,
No, it's fine.
my mind's gone. Alan Wake 2 was really, really good.
Which
Petri
one?
Ilenko did a great job. Alan Wake
Oh,
2.
yeah, Alan Wake 2. Wow. Gotta
Yeah,
forget
Petri did a great
Terraforming.
job on that. Really, really good. And also Starfield, I thought Ian Unzur did a really good job on that. It's a terrific soundtrack. I thought that was amazing. So yeah, those three that I've definitely noticed in the last, I guess that's a year or possibly
So,
18
yeah.
months. But yeah, those three in particular, I really, really enjoy listening to away from the game and in the game, and I admire the composers greatly. Yeah, fantastic.
Wow. And with Outrun, question on that one, did you get the data discs Outrun?
Do you mean the box set?
I think they did like a color vinyl for Outrun.
Oh no, I don't have a vinyl. I have a very rare, there's a box set of CDs, which I think was for the 40th anniversary, which has literally got about 20 CDs or something in it. And that's an amazing collection. But no, I don't have any vinyl. I must hunt that
Investigate.
one down and order it immediately after this call.
So, one thing I'm going to ask you again, this is a smaller question. Are you going to take a break this year?
No, I get bored very easily taking breaks. I've got various bits of project work going on, but one thing and you heard it here first, I'm thinking about putting on a live show of all my own music,
Oh, wow.
because I thought about it for a number of years, and then the other day I sort of, you know, there's so many shows coming up now, and I sort of thought, well, if I did, how would it look? Have I got enough material? Yes.
Of course you do.
And then so I actually did a rough set list, and I've got a pretty good idea of how it would go. So that's something that is just kind of in the wings at the moment, and I'm doing bits of work on it here and there. There's a lot of work that needs doing to backing
Well,
tracks and arrangements. So,
yeah.
you
If you
know,
need any help,
pardon?
if you need any help.
Yes, I'll definitely let you know. I mean, it might take a little while, maybe a couple of years to get off the ground, but it's something I'd love to do, and a lot
Yeah.
of people ask me, and I think it could be a fun evening for all concerned. So
Funny
watch
you
this
say that.
space is the answer to that.
Brilliant. But it's funny you say that because I've thought about doing it myself in the
Yeah.
north because Leeds gets nothing, we'll be honest. We get nothing.
Yeah.
You know,
True.
there has been one VGM concert in the last 22 years since I've been here. One.
Really? Wow. Well,
Yeah.
maybe I'll put it on my list. If I get things off the ground, I'll put Leeds as my
the first one.
part of the tour. Yeah, maybe the second one, but yes, for sure, it'll be on the list for sure.
So you're busy now with obviously some new stuff that you can't talk about, but hopefully we'll hear something from you soon.
Soonish, maybe not next year, maybe the year after. But yeah, sooner rather than later is the answer. Yes, when I can, maybe I'll come back on and tell you about the various things
Brilliant.
that I
Yeah, we'll
have
love that.
cooking
So
away.
the last thing I've just got to say is thank you. Thanks for spending the time with me again. It's been an
You're
absolute
very
pleasure.
welcome. It's always great to see you, great to catch up with you, but also to discuss, the wonderful world of gaming soundtracks. It's one of my favorite things to talk about.
Yep. And I can't believe it. We got to episode 99, and it's really nice to have a good friend on the show for that show. So thank you.
Well, it's my absolute privilege and honor. So thank you very much for inviting me onto episode 99.
So all we've got to do now is just say thank you and goodbye.
Thank you
See you,
very much.
everybody.
See you again.